welcome to the Built for the Trades podcast. This is your host, Dan Dowdy, alongside Nathan Glass, owner of Land Passes Marketing.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to the show, Nathan.
Thank you.
So today we're talking all about leading through adversity. This is our third part. So if you haven't listened to part one or part two, I encourage you to pause this and go back where we talked about EQ, which is emotional intelligence, and IQ, intellectual intelligence, when it comes to leading by example. And what was one of the big whys why people should really focus on leading a positive example, Nathan, in your mind?
Primarily because people are paying attention to what you do more than what you say.
And when you're not doing what you say, what happens there?
People are going to model what you're actually doing, not what you think you're doing.
There you go.
Right? So any sort of negative things you're doing or not great things you're doing, that's going to get modeled as well.
But yeah, and Nathan's right there. And also I want to add that if you don't do what you say, you lose credibility as a leader.
Lose trust.
Yeah. You lose. And if you have that leader that says, do what I say, not what I do, red flag. Red flag. Yeah, that may have worked like two generations ago when people had to have your job.
Yeah.
But in this day and age we live in, there's a lot of opportunity out there. And it's at our fingertips. It's on our phones. You know, it's why we lose team members, is because we, you know, our words and our actions don't align. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There's a competitor right around the corner ready to pick that person up.
That's right.
And they can be hired in 5 minutes and off to the next trades business or whatever business they're going to. So today we're talking about leading through adversity. And there's a good quote here that it says, adversity is prosperity to those who obtain a good attitude.
It's good. Kind of gets down to, you know, you talk a lot about positive mindset. Like, mm-hmm. this is kind of what that looks like. It, mm-hmm. Like the practical side of a positive mindset is when adversity comes, you don't fall apart. Mm-hmm. Or if you do, you do it for a short period of time. You recover quickly. And then you start looking for the opportunities in that.
So let's dive in. Today we're going to talk about positive attitude and resilience. We've already started talking about this. Number two, we're going to talk about focus on what you can control. And number three, clear communication and transparency. And these are all the top three things that we want you to do whenever you're leading through an adverse situation. And so positive attitude and resilience, maintain an optimistic outlook and encourage your team to see adversity as opportunity for growth. Demonstrating resilience and a can-do attitude can inspire your team to persevere.
That's good. My first thought is, like, if your initial reaction is not positive, that's fine. But don't go out to your team and start sharing from that place. Wait until you can have an optimistic opportunity, mm-hmm. right, or attitude, and come up with some, you know, an encouraging way to look at this, and then go out to your team and share that. Part of you know, emotional intelligence is understanding, and there's a book, I think it's called Emotional Intelligence, that talks about this, but from kind of a leadership perspective, which is that, like, if you go out in the room, gather up your team member, and you're talking about something that just happened, right, and everyone's kind of feeling all different kinds of emotions about it, the emotions that you as the leader display in that moment are the emotions that are going to propagate through everyone in that room. So in other words, like, if it's kind of like something's just happening and there's a lot of uncertainty, everyone's basically kind of, the question that people are asking is, what does this mean and how should I think and feel about it? Mm-hmm. And when you as a leader step in the room and express how you think and feel about it, that's what they're going to pick up. So it's kind of interesting, like, how this book describes, they've done studies on this, but how that, like, you're expressing not just your ideas about it, but also your emotions about it. And if you're calm and cool and positive about it, that's what people are going to pick up, and that's how they're going to see that situation too. So it's really powerful.
That's a really good, really good point. And it's funny, as you're sharing that, I start to think about different clips from The Office and Michael Scott and how he handled some of those situations. So for people who haven't seen The Office, you're really missing out.
It's a good show.
Yeah. But anyways, I mean, people do see that, right? And you're right, your body language, your emotions, mm-hmm. Your ability to communicate confidently, even if it is an unknown situation, really leads into the rest of the organization. And so if you go out there and you have that fear energy about you, it's just like animals, right? They pick up on that energy, mm-hmm. versus confidently being able to communicate and say, even if I don't know what the outcome is going to be in this situation, do know that I'm going to put my best foot forward. We're going to make decisions by our core values, and we're going to do what's best for the organization as a whole. You could say that confidently
in those tough times.
And that's really, you know, in adversity, you know, that's where you really show your true colors as a leader.
Yeah.
Everybody can be a good leader when things are going good.
That's right.
But when things are going bad, that's when you truly get to see what type of leader you are.
And it really is an opportunity for everyone to come together, too. I saw an example of this probably a decade ago in a company I was working at. It was in the financial services technology area. And so you can imagine in the banking world, there's a lot of regulations. And so there were some laws that were, some regulations that were being decided that really affected our company and our clients. And so, you know, word was kind of getting out about this, and like, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty in the organization. And the CEO did a really good job of demonstrating this, but he, you know, so kind of like a week or two into this, because everyone was just like, what's going on? Is our company going to close down? Because if they change these regulations, potentially like this company like can't work. Like, you know, so everyone's like, are we losing our jobs? Is the company going under? It was a pretty big deal. So in the midst of that, and to your point, like he didn't know what was going to happen or how this was going to turn out. But in the midst of that, he called a meeting. And he stood in front of everybody and he expressed like, hey, I just want to tell you, here's what's going on. Here's what I know. Here's where we're at. I'm going to need your help. Like, we all have to work together to get through this. You know, I may be calling on y'all to kind of do this and y'all to do this, but we don't know yet. You know, it's still too early. Mm-hmm. So there was a ton of uncertainty, but just getting everybody in the room and saying like, this is what's going on as best as I can share and what I know. And here's where we're at, really helped everyone feel better about it. Everyone kind of came together, and now you're all feeling like, okay, here's this challenge. We're all in this together, not just the CEO, but we're all in this as a company. And however we can help, we're going to help. So really, it ended up being a really cool like couple months where everyone banded together and was called on to do things they hadn't normally done to help save the company. And it ended up being a really positive thing. But there were several moments throughout that journey, those few months, that he did that. But I think especially that first one kind of set a lot of people at ease and joined everybody together. So at the end of it, we all felt stronger together because we'd been through this challenge together. So at the end of the day, it can be really positive. But I think just his calling everybody together and expressing where things were at and what's going on, even in the midst of uncertainty, was just so powerful for the company.
Yeah, and it really helped you carry that resilience ultimately and persevere through those tough times.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really a good example. And, you know, whether you think you can or you can't, you know, is really what it comes down to. You're right, right? That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And I really love that because the opportunity for leaders is in the midst of a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the opportunity not only for you to show who you are, but also to bring your team together.
Yeah.
Because I've heard it, you know, there's studies on this that like tough situations, like sometimes really tragic situations, is the times or just having like really extreme emotional experiences with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be a cool like team building event we went out and did, right? That was positive.
Yeah.
Either one of those two things on both ends of the spectrum really is an opportunity to bring your team a lot closer together.
That's good.
And just emotionally and so I think that's a really cool story there. I also relate it to on the flip side of it, taking it out of business, I relate this to running races and being a part of like running long distance races. And you know, even into the ultra distance, the first thing you got to do before you even sign up for something like that, before you ever hit the training and put the shoes on and start getting ready for it, is you got to first believe that you're going to do whatever it takes to get to the finish line.
Yeah.
And the difference between the people who show up, a good example of that was when I ran the Grand Canyon. I ran with some friends and I rimmed with a guy who was running with me. And I remember the night before, as we were packing our stuff to run from the south, from the north, back to the south, 50 miles across the Grand Canyon, was I said, I'm going to finish this at all costs. I've invested my time, my money, my energy to get here. I'm going to finish it. Mm-hmm. And the other guy I was with was more concerned about where the turnarounds were in case I couldn't finish it.
Oh, wow.
He wanted to finish it.
Yeah.
But he was looking for the outs in case he had a hard time. And for me, it was like, at all costs, I'm not stopping. Mm. And yes, there was times where I wanted to turn around, but I had that mindset that at all costs, I'm here to accomplish the goal. Mm. And when he had the pain point, he had the opportunity, he turned around. And so you can apply that to any area of your life. You know, you can apply it to business when you're going through tough times in adversity. You can apply it to ultra running. You can apply it to your marriage, right? There's going to be tough times in your marriage where when you say your vows, are you in it? Truly in it for the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. Or are you looking for, are you already planning out routes of if it goes bad, I'm going to go ahead and jump out of it at this point. And this is how I'm going to do it to best protect myself. Mm-hmm. And man, I feel like I'm getting deep again, but it's really kind of cool how it goes across all different areas of life. And that's why it's important that when you sign up for things in life, when you sign up for a goal, it could be a goal for this quarter. I'm going to accomplish these things,
right?
Narrow down to this. You got to have a positive attitude. You got to have resilience.
Yep.
Otherwise, if you commit to it and you're already thinking, well, you know, it sounds really cool, but the chances of us ever hitting it are not good. Even if you verbalize that or not, you put that energy off to the people around you.
That's right.
And so you have to 100% believe it, and then your team around you has to 100% believe it.
That's good. You're talking about going through adversity and perseverance. It reminds me of the quote, General Patton, maybe? Mm-hmm. Something like, when you're going through hell, keep going.
That's it, man. That's it. Keep on pushing through. All right, so step two here in leading through adversity is focus on what you can control. Emphasize the importance of focusing energy on factors within your control. Show how to identify actionable steps and prioritize efforts to address immediate challenges.
That's good. Yeah, I think often we think we can control more than we can. So it's always good to ask yourself in the midst of something, okay, first let's divide this situation into the what I can control and what I cannot control.
Yeah.
And because often we think more things are in our control than they really are. And when you do that, it kind of helps simplify the problem into, okay, here's the part I can control, so we'll focus here, which helps you get through things, I think, faster rather than being muddled by, well, they did this and they did that and whatever. Well, you can't control them. You can only control you. So it doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I also think this leads into having a faith, you know. It could be faith in God, faith in yourself, faith in what you can't actually see it, right? But you know what you want to achieve, and you know what the outcome you want to get to. But to me, I think that, you know, when it comes to focusing on what you can control, you have to give the rest up.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, it's giving the rest up to God and letting Him have control over it. It's really powerful. And it's when we try to control the uncontrollables.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times where you're trying to hold on tight to everything, is when your life's the most stressful and you don't grow,
right,
and things don't come your way and the opportunities don't open up. And so if you're in that right now, I just want to encourage you by this. It's just sit down, like you said, and make that list and say, what in this situation can I control? And it's probably going to be an adverse situation that you're in.
Right.
And write those things down and then just put your extra efforts into those things, because you can control your attitude. You can control your ability to show up and give 100%, right?
Right.
At whatever capacity that is, it looks different for everybody.
Yep.
And you can control the people that you surround yourself with. And, you know, all the different things that you do, and letting go of the things you can't control really is pretty powerful concept. Mm. Hopefully that makes sense.
I got it.
Okay, cool. So showing how to identify actionable steps. I mean, when you're leading through an adverse situation, you may be at point A and then you want to get to point Z, and there's all these steps along the way, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes people think point A to point Z is one step.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you go back to focusing on what you can control, in order to get to that point of where you feel like the outcome is of the things you can control, sometimes there are 20 steps. instead of one big giant leap. And sometimes that one big giant leap keeps people from ever taking the first step. And so if you're in a tough situation and you're listening to this and you're saying, okay, I want to focus on what I can control, just take the next step. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is within your control, take the next step and know that that, you know, by making yourself better in that situation, the leadership influence is going to make other things better, right?
That's good. It makes me think, you know, in a business situation, you know, because we're talking about leading through adversity. So if there's something in your business that involves other people, especially if, you know, their EQ is not as high or IQ is not as high, it's especially important as the leader to, you know, turn the problem into, okay, here's what we can control, here's what we're going to do, and here's the next step that I need you to take. Mm-hmm. And that can really help someone who may feel flustered by the situation or very emotional to, you know, calm down and kind of, it sort of refocuses them on, like, okay, here's the next thing I need to do. Because often people freak out, right? And when you're freaking out or you're having a big emotional response, your mind is not clear on what you should do. So by going through this process, it's very simple but practical to help refocus your team around you on, okay, I need you to do this and you to do this and you to do this, which has a calming effect, an assuring effect on the team to help everyone kind of rally around it and know what to do. So that way the next thing they do is productive. So, I mean, there's a fairly simple steps, but it really is powerful in the midst of adversity to help everyone, like, okay, everybody chill out. I need you to do this, you do this, you do this. And now they can go do something productive instead of just, you know, freaking out like a chicken with its head cut off.
Good point. All right, so step three is clear communication and transparency. Keep communication lines open and transparent. Provide regular updates on the situation. Address concerns honestly. And outline the steps being taken to overcome adversity. So let's just kind of dive into each one of those. Like, keep communication lines open and transparent. How do we do that?
Yeah, and it's often the opposite of what you want to do in an adverse situation. But I think the first thing is, once you have some clarity about the situation, is coming to the team and sharing how you see the situation. Mm-hmm. Now, this is another, like, Tony Robbins quote, which is like, you know, a good leader is going to see a situation as it is, no better than it is and no worse, right? So he's not going to be overly positive or overly negative. He's going to see it as it is, which is to say, a little more factual. So as a leader, ideally, that's what you do. You come into the situation and say, look, I know there's a lot of uncertainty, but here's what we do know, and this is what it looks like, right? And you're not trying to sugarcoat it, and you're not trying to make it seem worse than it is. You're just trying to, like, here's the situation so we can all get our heads around it. So I think open communication looks like coming to your team and sharing that, even when there's a ton of unknowns, even when it's early on in the process, which can be very uncomfortable. You know, your ego wants you to go out there and act like you know everything and you know how to solve the problem. But, you know, I think it's still important, even before you know what the solution is or how it's going to turn out, to talk to your team throughout the situation.
And I also think that with that, that's communication to your team. I think it's also important that you have a clear line of communication back to you so they can give you feedback and ask questions. And that goes back to providing regular updates on the situation. I mean, we talked about that earlier with the fear of the unknown or drawing negative conclusions to a situation.
Right.
If you just stop it at that initial communication and there's no areas for feedback or there's no constant updates on what's going on,
right,
people are steadily updating themselves with negative situations. Yeah. And they're actually probably looking for a new job at that point because they think the company's going down when actually it could be staying steady or going up.
Yeah.
But it's our job as leaders to communicate that to people.
No, that's good, right? If you don't address it and you don't share what's happening, right, everyone will start filling those gaps with assumptions. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
And the last thing I want to cover is just transparency. Like, man, that word is so powerful. And it sounds so simple. I'll just be transparent, right? But it's a lot to do with who's in the room with you and what level of trust do you have.
Mm-hmm.
And really opens up the ability to be able to be transparent. And a lot of people... a lot of leaders struggle with that. They'll say, Dan, I wish my team was more transparent.
Mm.
And then my response goes back to the mirror, right? are you being leading up, right? Are you being transparent?
Right.
And a lot of times they say yes, but in reality, they're not. There's no level of transparency. So it goes back to just the whole theme of the last three podcasts is, if you want to get something out of your team, you got to first do it.
Yep.
You got to first act it. You got to first verbalize it or show it, right? And it's no different than being transparent. Now, there is different levels of transparency. I'm not saying go out there and just share all your information with everybody. You have to be emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
In order to read the room and know who you're talking to.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But and that's what I was saying was like, yeah. And I think that's why transparency is so uncomfortable for a lot of people is because it requires a certain level of emotional intelligence. You have to understand how you're feeling about it, be honest about it. And you have to, be willing to be, to say, I don't know, mm-hmm. to say, I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. And I think your ego says, well, that's a leader should be strong. A leader should know everything. A leader should be confident that it is going to work out, right? And you want to, be positive as a leader, but you also need to balance that with the other things. But I think, it's hard on our egos to want to be transparent in the midst of something that may make us look silly or stupid or like we don't know something. So I think that's where, like, when you're grounded in who you are, and have a high level of EQ and IQ, it becomes easier to be transparent, and you know what level to be transparent and when to be transparent.
That's good stuff, man. Yeah, it really all comes together.
Yeah, exactly.
The EQ, the IQ, and even leading through adversity and carrying on, positive attitude and focusing on what you can control and clear communication and transparency, because. Really, if it goes back to that whole leadership is a lifelong journey, if you're weak in a certain area or it's a blind spot, but you're not willing to work on it, right? Or you don't surround yourself with somebody who can help you see it, you're really missing on an opportunity to really be a well-balanced, whole leader that's growing and moving in the right direction. And if you can do that, if you can become better, then it goes back to that 360, right? Up, down, side to side. Everybody who surrounds around you, everybody around you is going to be better because of that.
It's good. Yeah, as you're saying, that makes me kind of see that, the EQ we talked about in the first part, IQ in the second part, now adversity. Like, adversity is where you're really putting your EQ and IQ to the test.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really don't know what you're made of in those areas until there's adversity. And then you learn. And even if you don't handle it great, use it as an opportunity to learn and get better.
And when you don't handle it great, I love what you said. I just want to reiterate it. People want a leader who's real, not one who's right.
Yeah.
Especially not one who's always right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They want a real leader. They want somebody who says, you know what? I really screwed that one up. I thought I made the right decision, but I didn't, and I own that decision.
That's good.
And that's the kind of people, that's the kind of leader that people are going to rally behind.
Yeah.
And help that person, help that organization succeed.
That's good.
All right. Well, that's the close of our three-part series. I hope now you've learned a few things that help you apply to your leadership and getting better at leading by example. Once again, just remind everybody out there that if this resonated with you and you know somebody else and that it would resonate with, please share this. And leave some comments for us so then we know that we're delivering the right content for you. Once again, Nathan, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If people want to reach out to you, how should they reach out to you, Nathan?
They can just email me, Nathan@landpassesmarketing.com.
Nathan@landpassesmarketing.com. And if you want to reach out to us here at Built for the Trades, BuiltForTheTrades.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Hope you have an amazing day. We'll talk to you next time.